Welcome, everybody, to The Call. Of course, we are starting off this show on a very somber note. As everybody, I'm sure, by now is well aware of the massacre that happened in Orlando over this weekend. An absolutely just terrible tragedy that is becoming far too common in this world. I don't know how many shows Josh and I have started like this, but it is just absolutely gone completely insane. And Josh is here too. I know we both just want to send out our thoughts and prayers and everything to the people of Orlando and to everyone that was affected by this tragedy. It's just, Josh, it goes without saying. I mean, there's no words to describe what everyone is feeling right now. I mean, we're recording this on Wednesday. This happened Saturday night, and it still feels like it just happened in my head. It's such a tragedy, and the thing that keeps getting stuck in my head is, what was this guy thinking? Why was this his answer? And that's something I think a lot of us are always thinking with these types of tragedies, but it's becoming far too common, and this is just another tragedy that we all have to go through, and it sucks that we have to live like this. But what are your feelings on this? What do you think?
Oh man, you're right. It's just far too many instances where this happens, and enough's enough, I feel. I mean, there's got to be an end to it. No more bloodshed, no more mourning. Too many families are losing their family members, friends, you know, wives, husbands, sisters, brothers. It's got to stop. You know, it's uncalled for. It definitely shouldn't happen. But the honest reality of it is, and I just hope that we can take action and prevent further instances from happening like that, man. I hate hearing this stuff.
Yeah, so what we're going to do now is we're going to give you guys just 10 seconds of silence, and then we'll begin the show. But whatever you believe in, whatever you want to do during this 10 seconds, whether it's send good vibes, say a prayer, send out good thoughts, whatever you want to do, the next 10 seconds is just for the people of Orlando, the victims of this crazy man that doesn't know how to handle his emotions. But Orlando, the world is with you. We are with you, and we send nothing but love to you. And hopefully one day this kind of stuff will stop.
Said nevermore. You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Mini camp has started. Josh, how's it going, man? You ready for this?
It's going great, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Football is just that much closer to being the real thing. These guys aren't wearing pads, but minicamp has started. Let's talk about the big news that happened over this weekend. We were almost going to do a show. We were going to wait to see how it happened, what happened with it. Rashad Perryman, it looked like he was going to miss his sophomore season now because he had a knee injury, an ACL injury, and he goes into the doctor, has a little bit of a procedure, and it looks like it's not season ending. He might miss preseason, but it looks like he's got a stem cell injection, and now we might actually see Rashad Perryman in a Ravens jersey in M&T Bank Stadium this year.
And who'd have thought that would have happened? Because I seriously thought when the news broke, it was over. I was like, this is the end. He can't play anymore. He's got two bad knees, and it was nice knowing you. It was kind of just, you know, it's a blessing that it didn't go that way, and it right. wasn't as serious as we originally thought.
Yeah, because this was his left knee. Last year was his right knee, correct?
Yeah, it was his PCL and his right knee. This year was ACL, fear of ACL and left knee.
So let me ask you, I mean, he was our number one guy going into the draft last year. Were there warning signs or anything like that that Ozzie should have paid attention to? Because from what I've read after this happened, there were a lot of signs of him in college having weak knees and getting a lot of knee injuries. Is that something Ozzie just missed?
It could be. And, I mean, you know, these things are unforeseen. I mean, and I researched this and going back into drafting players or at least getting involved with players with injury-prone histories, and I know we've kind of stayed away from the draft in recent memory, but we drafted Jamal Lewis, who had some injury problems in Tennessee, and he led us in the Super Bowl charge, and you know, and he had the career year in 2003, as we know, and I think he re-injured himself later in a few years later, and I mean, it's been there. I mean, drafting people with injury concerns, I'm sure we do our due diligence. The Ravens aren't, you know, they're not last class, they're first class organization. So we do research. We got to trust our guys, trust our staff to know that they're making the best sound decision and they're not drafting a player. And we talked about this earlier, Brandon, how the Orioles, you know, have adopted the, you know, the very cautious approach. I mean, how many times you see the Orioles try to sign a pitcher here and then, oh, well, he failed his physical and they didn't sign him. And everybody's like, well, there was no complications, and, well, their doctors found something that no one did. So it's kind of like we've adopted that where the Ravens know what they're getting into. They're not going to invest. The NFL and sports in general is people investing. You're investing your team's salary. You're allocating funds. You're allocating, you know, all the timeless, countless times of scouting and video to say, hey, I'm investing in you to help our team better and to win us a championship. So they're going to, if it was your team and you're investing your money, you would definitely do every precaution necessary. So that's what it comes down to. These things are unforeseen. It sucks. It happens. I mean, who unforeseen's Webb's injury? I mean, but see, you know, Ray Lewis went down with an injury. Pitta went down with a hip injury. These things are freak accidents. I mean, Smith went down with Achilles. Suggs has two Achilles. So these things you can't prevent. They are part of the game. But I just hope that, you know, Perryman can come back and even be half the player for us, man.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see what he can do. I mean, I thought when he went down with that second knee, I figured his career was over. I mean, this has got to be something that weighs a lot on his mind, a lot on the Ravens' mind. But I was a little taken back that they said that he'd got a stem cell injection in his knee to help this heal. Is that a normal thing for football to use? Because I thought, like, in sports like MMA, the UFC, stem cell injections were against the rules. They were illegal. Is that something that normally happens in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, if it's approved, I mean, if that's what was reported, I think that it's definitely a legal way to use. Some certain sporting agencies always report that as a bad thing. A lot of media, you know, depending on what you take, oh, well, a certain player took this. No, stem cells are a great way to accelerate that, and it's definitely not, you know, on the radar of performance enhancing drugs. So I think we're in the clear for stem cells.
Gotcha. So with Rashad Perryman out, I mean, he might miss the preseason. That leaves the door open right now. I mean, as much as you want to say Perryman comes in and he's, you know, he's able to stretch the field a little bit, but you do have Mike Wallace, who is a first-year Raven. He's a veteran, though. You know what he can do. I got to say, this has the door open for him to show what he can do working in purple and black this time. But there's also guys behind him like Kamar Aiken, who, with Rashad Perryman out, has potential of maybe taking that spot away and being a threat to the other teams.
Absolutely, man. And I've said this all weekend because I had countless times to talk to people, especially when the news broke. And I'll share the story. It was pretty funny. I had a wedding to go to on Saturday, which was a great wedding. And it was great weather. We were outside and it was great. I wore my Ravens pullover and everybody was like, oh, you're representing. And we got into talking. And there's some people I haven't seen the wedding in a while. And when this broke, we were talking about like Perryman, Pitta coming back, what we've seen in camps. And literally, we were like walking into the reception area, and lo and behold, my phone shows the reports. The one that I sent you on Saturday was, you know, he apparently tore his knee. And I ran over to the guy. I'm like, hey, look. I said, I thought I was seeing things. I was like, look, we were just talking about this, and look what happened. He goes, you got to be kidding me. And what I really mean to lead up to say that was is – if it, what I got into talking after that is the Ravens, as crazy as this sounds coming out of my mouth, the Ravens didn't lose anything here, and you might ask Josh why. That sounds crazy. Because he hasn't stepped on the field for the team in 2 years. The only thing that hurts us is, yeah, we wasted a draft pick, and one of my best friends sends it, Sergio Kindle 2.0, you know, 2.0 all over again, you know, because it's like, you know, we reinvested a first pick on this guy, and he hasn't panned out. But, I mean, but look at it this way. We invested our first-round pick to Mark Clayton. We invested our first-round pick in Kyle Bowler. We invested our first-round pick in Travis Taylor. These guys didn't pan out, and they didn't get hurt. So I look at it that way as, yeah, he might not step on the field, but maybe he just, you know, becomes a bust later in the line. Who knows? And you just chalk it up as, oh, just, he didn't perform. You can imagine that. So I want to cut to chase and say it doesn't hurt the team performance-wise because we don't know what he brought to the table. We know what Mike Wallace does because we've seen him play for other teams. We know what Steve Smith can bring to here, and he did in Carolina, and we know what we're getting with these guys. Pitta coming back from his injury, and we'll discuss that in a few, is we already know what we're getting because we've seen Pitta perform for us. We don't know what Brashad other than a few highlights of catches in minicamp, so from what I've seen, it's great, but we haven't seen live game action. So from a standpoint of it hurting the team, him coming back only helps. So if he comes back with his knee and in training camp, like Harbaugh said, and see how it feels and see how he goes, and if he, even if he's 50% of the player he was and catches, you know, five balls every 2 weeks or whatever, or catches three touchdowns this year, that's three more touchdowns that we would have had or somebody else could have caught or didn't catch. So I'm the jury's still out, but hey, I'm optimistic. If he's still on the team and if his knee's not teared wholeheartedly like that, that's great. You know, I'm very excited to say, hey, look, heal up, strap up, and just, you know, put your best foot forward and play 100% as a Raven for us. And that's what I'm excited about, man.
Yeah, and besides Perryman, there are a lot of people still with nagging injuries from last year. Of course, Joe Flacco, he's at the castle. He's checking out minicamp. He's talking to guys, but he's not playing. Steve Smith, he's not playing. But again, talking to guys, giving up that leadership a little bit. Terrell Suggs, the same thing. Elvis Dumervil, though, he's a guy who, I didn't know this, but after the regular season, he had a procedure, and what he described as his foot area. I don't know what foot area means. It's a part of your foot. I don't know why you can't say, like, you know, the heel or the ball of your foot or whatever. He just said foot area. But
right.
he said he had a procedure. It was to clean up some stuff because last year was brutal. And he's not going to be in minicamp. He should be ready for training camp. But how important is it? And, I mean, it's pretty obvious, but how important and why is it so important to have Dumervil and Suggs both on the field and both healthy to start this season?
Oh, it's very important because, number one, attack plan, attack the quarterback is the name of the game. I mean, I've said this time and time again, if you want our corners to hold up and everybody wants to see how that goes up, if you attack the quarterback and don't give him time, no matter who's under center across from us, the secondary is going to look stellar because, oh, our front seven – that's what won us games in 2000 and in the back in the vaunted years of the Ravens defense where the front seven, you weren't running on us, and when you pass, we're in your face, and it forced it throws, and that's how Reed got a lot of picks. There was a lot of tip balls. That's the Ravens' old-school way that we used to know of playing and attack the quarterback, and that's anybody. I mean, look what happened when Cam Newton was under duress in the Super Bowl, Brandon. You remember how that went down?
Oh,
Broncos
yeah.
Won. Mm-hmm. Von Miller was MVP, and there's a reason why for that. Defense ultimately wins championships. The Giants disrupted the Patriots' perfect season because they were in the same way. They held the Patriots to only 14 points when the Patriots had a world record-setting offense before the Broncos destroyed that. But, I mean, come on. I mean, there was a game where in that season, in the first half alone, Brady threw four touchdowns to Randy Moss in one half of football. So, and the Giants disrupted their plans. So, attacking the quarterback is the name of the game. And yeah, you might say, and you might agree that the way the league goes, it's protecting the quarterback, it's protecting the investments, and we know it's a money-driven league. But yeah, and you got all these ticky-tack rules. What happened with Suggs in the preseason with Sam Bradford in Philly and going after the knee, was it malicious? Was it unintentional? Keep going after a quarterback. These guys are paid pass rushers. They're paid to go after a quarterback. That's what J.J. Watt is known for. That's what Michael Strahan was known for. That's what Warren Sapp was known for. That's where a lot of these guys in the Hall of Fame are known for, and that's where, you know, hopefully the numbers speak for themselves. Suggs might be in that discussion. Who knows? And Dumervil, you know, he had the sack record for us. It just, with both of these guys motoring and healthy, we need it, man, because – this is it. This is the last push. This is the last year for Suggs, I believe. Dumervil maybe has 3 or 4 years max left. I mean, he's getting up there for linebacker. So I say he's got a good four years max. And he's got a motor. And then a couple with the young guys, I think it's really going to bode well for us.
Absolutely. So one guy that will not be in a Ravens jersey this year is Eugene Monroe. That is absolutely decided. The Ravens decided to cut ties with Eugene Monroe, release him from his contract. He had a pretty bad two seasons with the Ravens the last 2 years, but I think this really has to come down to the fact in this offseason, Monroe has been very critical of the NFL and of the Ravens for his views on using marijuana instead of using pills right. and other pain relievers. So when it comes down to it, what really led to this termination of his contract? He blatantly came out and said the Ravens and the NFL shouldn't be doing deals with alcohol with alcoholic sponsors if marijuana is not allowed in the league. What really led to this? Is that the reason why he was let go, because of those views, or was it because of his playing?
I don't think it was because of the views. I mean, of course, I've been digging for a source. The team hasn't really said why. I know Harbaugh just said they terminated his contract today. Now, unfortunately, being in the busy day I've had today, I did not really get to hear the press conference in the last couple of days with John Harbaugh. I wanted to listen to it. I just didn't get a chance to. But don't know if anybody out there can tweet me or if you can find a brand in any source. But it wasn't leaked. It was basically the Ravens issued a statement today saying we've terminated the contract of Eugene Monroe. And multiple sources broke this. I actually went on the Ravens Twitter page to verify, went on the website. I think it was a combination of play, combination of because there was no drive last year, and I think it's just they're looking to shake things up, my friend. I think what it comes down to is that's exactly what they're going to do. We got Ronnie Stanley on the line. I think we always got Yonda there, who's been a stalwart. I always call him the younger version of Ogden because he's just been there ever since day one and just going to work and working hard in the trenches. And I think we'll be okay with what we have and with what's to come. And I'm very excited to see how the running game is going to take shape for him in the passing game and protecting Flacco. So I think it was a pure business move here, and just maybe creating cap space. I have to look at the final numbers on how it impacts this year and next year, mm-hmm. and we'll get into that maybe later on in some shows the impact it happened in teams. But for right now, I think it's just pure strategical move and a personnel move that hey, you weren't panning out. But if it was to any comments, I don't see the Ravens doing that, like being outspoken, because Harbaugh's always been that way. He's speak your mind. He's always said this isn't open mic, open door policy. Say what needs to be said. He's always said that. So I don't think that just because he would be outspoken and saying, oh, well, the Ravens and the league should do this and the NFL should – no, because Flacco's been vocal at things. Suggs has been vocal. I mean, other players have been vocal. So I don't think so.
Well, with his release, the Ravens are saving $6.5 million in salary cap space, and they're taking a hit of $2.2 million in dead money this year and $4.4 million in 2017. That's a bit of a hit next year. Do you see the Ravens being able to do anything with that money? Maybe signing somebody before training camp? Is there a
receiver, because regards to Perryman, you don't know his health. I mean, I prefer but like to see receiver and or lineman. I like the savings there, so I think that we should go out and get somebody. Whether we look on the free agent market, it's dry, but it could be doable, making some trades. But the Ravens have some cash, a little bit to save. If not, it could help us rearrange some contracts later in the year or next year. So I think it just helps out the team. Like I said, pure personnel move, save some money. Let's see what happens.
Is there a chance we could see someone like Anquan Boldin maybe coming back to the team?
I've heard rumors. I've heard a lot of writers are saying the Ravens should sign him back, and here's why. And I agree, here's why, because we can't get it right with Perryman's knees and just can't get it going. We have Steve Smith on his last leg. Boldin would bring that veteran playmaker physical presence. We have Steve Smith is the possession. We have Mike Wallace, something to prove, could be a burner. Akins proved himself last year to be a top flight receiver on this offense. So Akin, I'm fine with this offense. Pitt has been outstanding. I'm very excited to see what he can bring. He might not be 100% player like he was a couple years back, but geez, man, if he pans out, we have four solid tight ends in Pitta, Max Williams, Crockett Gilmore, and I know Nick Bosa spending for the remainder of the year. But, I mean, we have a good stable of tight ends. And then we even added Ben Watson. So I'm very excited to see how that pans out. So we have a lot of weapons. But I like to see the Ravens. I think it would be on the offensive move. Given that Perryman's knees and we've let go Monroe, that would probably be safe for offense.
All right, now with Monroe gone, that leaves the door open for one Mr. First-round rookie, Ronnie Stanley, to really shine and show why he was our number one draft pick. What do you think he's going to do with Monroe gone now? I mean, it's his position to lose at this point, right?
Yep, and I think he'll step up. I think he's made for the challenge, man. I think with Monroe gone, Stanley steps up in a big way, and I can see him starting in week one against the Bills at home, hoping on September 11th. I think it's going to happen, man. You're going to see him blocking for Flacco. I just really hope Flacco can get back in day one of training camp. I've heard multiple reports that he might not be back halfway through. He might be ready to go by week one. Obviously, he'll be ready to go by week one, but I know with training camp looming, here we are on June, 15th? Training camp's a month away, because you figure in about a month and a week, everybody starts reporting by the end of July. So, I mean, it's upon us. So, we're going to really get to see, monitor the health of Flacco next month if we see any sightings or hear any stories, because I'm going to monitor the pulse of that, because I can't wait to see if he comes back for a full camp. Because that the success of this team rides on number five, our MVP right now, and the true the so-called dub general that Ray Lewis left and he tagged him with is he's our leader. Him and Suggs are the leaders here in Doomerville, and needs to really start gearing up and seeing how these injuries can take shape and form and how they can recover.
All right, so now let's actually talk about mini camp. Let's talk about what happened on the field today. Of course, we can't see what's going on. We weren't at the castle. Unfortunately, we aren't that big of a podcast just yet. Give us some time. But Dennis Pitta, he's a guy that a lot of people are talking about. From what I hear, reports are this is the Dennis Pitta of old. He looks like he's completely fine, and that it looks like there's a very good chance he plays this year. Are we going to see Dennis Pitta back on this team?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's going to happen. I'm very excited to hear, like you said, what he's done on the field since his injury. I really hope it holds up and it doesn't re-injure. And if he can catch, I mean, the tight end position, how deep it is and how we need to spread the ball around, if he can catch a good, you know, 30 to anywhere between 30 and 50 balls, I know it's a big range, and maybe catch 3 or 4 touchdowns this year, that's going to be huge for us, man. And possessions are all about that. Third down and longs are pretty epic around here, where we need to get those yards gained. And I think Pitta provides that down the field threat in the middle of the field. And defenses, because other than recent or pre-injury film, they really know how to handle him, because who knows how he's going to handle run route running and handle that. So it's kind of like you're still getting the old player, but at a new, different pace. So who knows if he's going to go at 100% or take it a little bit slower. But right now, so far, the video doesn't lie. I mean, he's been without pads and out game contact running with full speed, and he's handled it well.
Now, for a rookie coming in, the Ravens, on their website, they did an article about this guy. They're saying that he has the toughest job in minicamp right now, and that is Navy quarterback Keenan Reynolds. Of course, we talked about him on our Memorial Day podcast, which, by the way, everyone, if you listen and heard our pre-draft show again, that was my fault. I apologize for uploading the wrong one again. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, we talked about Keenan Reynolds leaving the Navy and being able to go into the NFL. He is transitioning from being the Navy quarterback to being a return man and a receiver. How hard is it for a player to go from being a quarterback in college, or in this case the Navy, to then becoming a punt returner and a receiver? What kind of pressure is that?
It's a lot of pressure, man, because it's the NFL level, especially in being a rookie in training camps. You want to perform at a high level right away, and there's that nervousness. I mean, I've never been in that position. I can't speak for these guys. I never know what it was like, but just knowing probably what it entails to be in a competition with other so-called employees on the team and having 53 roster spots to fill out of, what, 80 people on the team right now, or probably more than less than 90. And it's just that pressure. It's, you know, you can have 2-3 bad practices and the coaches might be like, you know, it was great, but you know, find another team. Is he going to work out for Baltimore here? But if you're shining and you're performing, and especially in these preseason games, and you're showing that when you get in these, especially in these early ones, and especially the last preseason game, and make those evaluations for the roster cuts right for the year, it's about show up, you know, put up or shut up. And I think he's up for the challenge. I mean, the transition's very tough because but it's not as tough as going, let's say, from offense to defense, or let's say something like that. But again, it's just going to be panning out to where he fits in the offense. I think with him, he's going to be, again, can't speak for the guy, but I think he's just going to be that kind of guy where he's going to be, hey, coach, put me wherever. Special teams, runner, gunner, punt returner, kickoff returner. We need that guy. We haven't had a dynamic guy pretty much since, what, Jermaine Lewis? years back. I can't remember the last time we had a valid, other than Jacoby, of recent memory, between the gap between Jacoby and Jermaine, we haven't had a dynamic punt and kick returner, so maybe that could be the key for us.
Absolutely. So we do have guys coming into their sophomore year. Darren Waller, another one that the Ravens website did a spotlight on for minicamp. His rookie season got cut short. He was a guy that during rookie camp last year, I was really impressed with. I thought that he was a very good speaker. He had skills on the field, and he was so tall. I couldn't get over how tall he was. But it said that he's kind of showing up in the tight end competition, that we might see a little bit more of him this year. Maybe give Dennis Pitta a run for his money for the starting spot, but that he was able to make plays. I think Darren Waller would, again, I mean, I was looking for it last year, but maybe this year it'll be a little bit more. I was looking for him and Flacco to work very well together, since both of those guys are so tall, they can see over all the competition.
Yeah, man. I mean, and Waller's one of those guys that you always forget about. I hate to say that because the guy ended up performing towards the end of the year last year, and I like his abilities. I like his demeanor, and let's see what it carries on to the field. But I'm really excited to see how our receiving corps pans out in the next few weeks. Camp's been fun to watch the footage. I'm very excited to how Weddle's gelling with the team. Mike Wallace has come to his own. I'm really excited for you guys. Ben Watson's been a great addition. And Leslie Frazier, even with a secondary coach, he has some nice things to say. So I really can't wait to see how it all pans out. And it's pretty much right on us, man. I mean, and it's crazy, and basically in 2 months, we'll be right in the thick of the preseason schedule. How's that sound, man?
It sounds pretty good. I'm counting down.
I'm down for it, too, and it's as crazy as it sounds. I'm actually finally this weekend going to my first Orioles game, and it's already mid-June. I haven't been to O's game, and they started, what, in April?
Oh, yeah. I haven't been down there at all yet, man.
I haven't been to O's game yet.
I know. It's soon enough, it's going to be Christmas. I mean, this year is just flying by.
I don't want the football season to fly by. I mean, we got 16 games to enjoy, and hopefully it's going to lead us to another playoff berth, and I can't wait to get it started, man. We're getting closer, and I know you have, if you have it up, I know they announced they opened stadium practices for the team.
Oh, that's right. Let me find that. They did. Because this weekend is Father's Day. They're showing the Minion movie.
It's Father's Day weekend. Yep, Minions.
Yeah, they're showing them this Sunday. Let's see. Do we have anything? Not saying anything except Army Navy game in December. Let me see. Let me look up training camp. Fireworks night, M&T Bank Stadium, August 6th. That'll be the time to check them out. Two. They're doing two this year at the stadium. August 1st.
Yes, they are.
August 1st and August 6th. That's pretty cool.
That's off Monday and Saturday. So within the same week, they're having two open stadium. I'll probably more than likely probably go to both, depending on how my schedule pans out, but I definitely probably be at both. I really can't wait, because it's a great way to really hone in, and especially if you have any good media devices, like on your phone, have a good camera, to take good video, especially get up close, because you're going to really see these guys interact and really get a feel for how they're going to be, and I really hope number 5 is on the field of those practices, which we anticipate.
Yeah. Oh, this is, you know, it's kind of interesting. They're doing two at the stadium, none at in Annapolis, like they've been doing the last couple of years.
They didn't like it too much, or
from what I understand, a lot of people were stopping the Ravens to ask for like selfies and stuff, and Ravens were getting a little annoyed with that. So I guess they're kind of going with the people that are normally around them anyway.
Absolutely.
All right, man. So anything else we should cover for this episode?
Man, brother, we covered this one to the max, man, to the max.
All right, so before we get out of here, this is not Ravens talk. I do want to ask you, I don't know a lot of people that are into this, but UFC 200 is coming up July 9th, and Brock Lesnar is coming back, the beast incarnate.
Now you got to say it right, Brock Lesnar.
I hope Paul Heyman walks him to the octagon. I am shocked.
Oh my God. Seriously, yes.
I am shocked that Brock Lesnar worked out a deal with the WWE, with UFC, to appear at UFC 200. I mean, for this to happen in this day and age is just crazy. For it to be kept under wraps for as long as it did is even crazier. What does this mean for the UFC? 200 is going to be a great show, but to have Brock Lesnar back, I mean, that's going to be a crazy amount of buys.
It's going to be epic, man, because not only do you have him showing up for the co-main event, he's got a busy 2 months because he's headlining. I don't know if he's headlining, but he's going to be at SummerSlam in August, still contracted with WWE. And in on top of the UFC 200, you have the John Jones Cormier fight, which we're all anticipating because Cormier didn't fight the last time, and Jones coming back again to reclaim his title. We all know Jones' ties. He did the Ray Lewis Baltimore dance here, and when it was UFC in Baltimore, which was epic. Yeah, Miesha Tate defending her title. So you have title fights all over the place. You have Brock Lesnar's opponent to be determined. It's going to be a wild one. You get to the bars, get to the TVs early if you're having it home. Order it. It's going to be nuts, man.
Well, I'm hoping to have a crab feast, and I'm hoping to blow up my my movie screen, my 12-foot movie screen, and shown it outside. That's my plan for UFC 200. I am so stoked for it. Can't wait to see Brock in the octagon for again. I watched UFC, you know, back in college in my younger 20s, but when Brock left, I kind of fell out of UFC, and I wasn't watching it. But then Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey came, and I got into watching their fights. So to see Brock come back at age 38, healthy, with no diverticulitis or anything like that. This is going to be a fun 200. It's going to be a fun event to watch. I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too, man. Me too, and I really can't wait to get it started.
All right, guys. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. I'm followed by Ravens player Daniel Brown. Daniel Brown, and I invited him to the show. So if you guys want to tweet to Daniel Brown, let's have him on the podcast. Let's have him on the call. I would love to talk to Daniel Brown about Ravens training camp. So anybody out there listening, tweet to Daniel Brown and let him know. You're welcome on the call anytime you want. So you can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52, man.
All right, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash, as well as Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. We do this show for free. You guys listen, stream, and you download for free. We are keeping you entertained throughout the summer as we wait for the Ravens to finally come back, play some football. So all we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Periscope, anywhere you are social on the web, wherever you use your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call and you should too. We are available again, guys, on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast. And Google Play Music. So we are available all over the place. Make sure you guys tell your friends. Let everybody know where you can listen to us. Write us an iTunes review. Share the links to the shows. Do everything you can. All right, guys. That is pretty much it for the show this week. That was Ravens Minicamp. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much. And everybody, it's been a great summer so far. We're getting there. We're getting closer to the season. We're keeping you fresh and updated with minicamp updates. I know the Raven sites have been good, giving you some fresh insight, fresh stories, fresh footage of what's going on at the castle. Really can't wait to get it popping. Guys, we're getting there. We're getting there. Just bear with us even more. But it's been some news. Perryman up and down, we know. We covered it from front to back. Everybody's got their opinions. I just can't wait to get after and get out of training camp and see Joe Flacco healthy. We know. It's on the horizon. The birds are coming back. The season's upon us. Until then, break open the old bay. Enjoy some crabs. Enjoy some time out in the bay, the water, wherever you at, the Ocean City. And until then, Baltimore Ravens, fly high this offseason.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.